Historically, we have not defined marriage in our Constitution. It's been a matter of state law. That has been our tradition.
If a federal court decided that my state of Arizona had to observe what the state of Massachusetts decided, then I would favor a constitutional amendment.
Senators Obama and McCain, they were speaking Saturday night at Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church out there in California. We spent some time yesterday with you during Audio Open Lines going through some of the questions and answers that were, this really has made some news. People are talking about this all over the place. We're going to continue talking about it now for Audio Open Lines. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 1-877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address this Tuesday, August the 19th, talkback@issuesetc.org. Coming off our conversation with Dennis DeMarle, you'll find information on his new book. It's called A Love for Life, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand, you'll find the book, A Love for Life. It's Audio Open Lines. Yesterday we heard from Barack Obama and Senator McCain on what? Their biggest moral failings. We heard them talk about the gay marriage amendment. We heard them talk about abortion and embryonic stem cell research. We didn't get through all our audio, so we hope to do that here during Audio Open Lines. I invite your questions and your comments. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. By the way, you can feel free to comment on anything you may have heard yesterday or heard on the news coming out of this Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. A stroke of genius, if you ask me, when it comes to Rick Warren and some PR opportunity for his church. A stroke of genius. In fact, I heard yesterday an interview when I was, this was later in the evening, listening to a radio interview, someone asked the question about whether or not the torch has been passed from the old school evangelicals, like Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell, although he's no longer with us, maybe even Billy Graham or Dr. Dobson. Has that torch been passed now to Rick Warren? The answer was yes. If there was ever any doubt who America looks to now as its pastor, in quotes, there's no doubt now. After the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency, Rick Warren interviewing probably two of the most news-making and important gentlemen in the country right now, yes, the torch has been passed. A lot has been discussed in the news about how the two men fared against each other. I find that interesting because the two men were only in the room together, in the same room together, for just a few minutes. The questions and the answers were all given with the other man outside the room. There is a little bit of a flap over whether or not Senator McCain was in the building or heard anything, but I think that's immaterial. It was not a debate, and yet the two men's answers are being compared just as though it were a debate. So feel free to comment on anything you heard yesterday or what we play today from the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's begin with Senator McCain. Here he is on the courts.
Which existing Supreme Court justices would you not have nominated?
With all due respect, Justice Ginsburg, Justice Breyer, Justice Souter, and Justice Stevens.
That's four out of, well, it's almost a majority. That's the minority of the court. A good follow-up would have been, why? I imagine it has something to do with the abortion issue in Senator McCain's mind, although he did not say that. It's a good question, though. I mean, you could say, what kind of judges are you going to appoint? And you're going to get the boilerplate answer, which is no judicial activists, people who don't legislate from the bench, people who are strict constructionists, all of these answers that we're going to hear again and again and again. A good way of asking the question, who wouldn't you have appointed? Care to react? 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-MYIE. myie, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. I wonder how those four justices feel now, facing the prospect of a possible McCain presidency. Well, I guess their separation of powers. Their jobs are secure. But it's a good question, and a very straightforward answer. Let's hear how Senator Obama answered the same question.
Which existing Supreme Court justice would you not have nominated?
That's a good one. I would not have nominated Clarence Thomas. I don't think that he was a strong enough jurist or legal thinker at the time for that elevation. Setting aside the fact that I profoundly disagree with his interpretations of a lot of the Constitution, I would not nominate Justice Scalia, although I don't think there's any doubt about his intellectual brilliance, because he and I just disagree. He taught at University of Chicago, as did I, in the law school.
How about John Roberts?
John Roberts, I have to say, was a tougher question only because I find him to be a very compelling person, in conversation individually. He's clearly smart, very thoughtful. I will tell you that how I've seen him operate since he went to the bench confirms the suspicions that I had and the reason that I voted against him. And I'll give you one very specific instance, and this is not a stump speech.
All right.
I think
I picked this up.
Right, exactly. I'm getting accused. One of the most important jobs of, I believe, the Supreme Court is to guard against the encroachment of the executive branch on the power of the other branches.
Okay.
And I think that he has been a little bit too willing and eager to give a administration, whether it's mine or George Bush's, more power than I think the Constitution originally intended.
All right. I think they almost covered all the members of the court, with the exception of, let me see, we had the four-vote minority. We had Thomas, Scalia, Roberts, and the one that was not mentioned that I can think of is Alito. Kennedy, that's the one that didn't make... He must be flying under the radar, and everyone would have nominated him. Who did nominate him, Jeff? Jeff always knows who the Supreme Courts were nominated by.
I believe, wasn't Kennedy or Reagan? It was either Reagan or Bush Sr., I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it was one of the two. It was in that whole 12-year period of the Reagan-Bush thing when he was taken up into the court. Well, that's a pretty clear division, if you ask me. I mean, laying aside their reasons for not nominating, we got some reasons from Barack Obama. Senator McCain did not volunteer any reasons why he would not have nominated those he would not have nominated, but it's a pretty clear division when you have the conservative, quote-unquote conservative, majority of the court mentioned by one candidate and the liberal minority of the court mentioned by another. What do you think? I thought it was a good question. What do you think of the answers? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines. We're listening to some more of the audio from the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. Coming up in about a half hour on the program, we'll be talking about Bernard of Clairvaux, 12th century hymn writer and theologian. Dr. Martin Noland will be our guest. He's past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Then Dr. Jay Budziszewski will join us. He also goes by Professor Theophilus. He's got two new books out called Ask Me Anything and Ask Me Anything Too. Of course, we've talked with him about a number of his books, What You Can't Not Know and Revenge of Conscience and Staying Christian in College. We'll pick up the subject of young people going off, not tender-minded young people, but young people going off to college and encountering all sorts of challenges to the Christian faith, sometimes having it taken away from them entirely. Well, when we come back from this break, we'll hear more from Senator McCain and Senator Obama on various subjects. The one thing that strikes me when it comes to the whole issue of the courts, remember, the courts stand-in for another subject. Whenever the courts are discussed in presidential politics today, almost whenever that they are discussed, it's really not about the courts. It's not even about judicial activism. It's not about the balance of powers. It's not about granting more power to the executive branch or any of those things. It's about abortion. Any conversation today, maybe not in the past, maybe not in the future, but any conversation today in presidential politics that comes around to the courts is really a conversation about life, whether we protect it or whether we don't. Remember that. 1-877-623-MYIE. talkback@issuesetc.org. When we come back, evil was the question. Usually it's called the problem of evil, but in the case of Rick Warren's question for Senator Barack Obama and Senator John McCain, it was the question of evil. Does it exist, and what should we do about it? Both of the men had interesting answers. We'll hear them on the other side of the break. Not philosophical answers, very concrete answers when it comes to evil. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, August the 19th. Audio open lines listening to the Saddleback Civil Forum on the Presidency. We'll have the questions and the answers about evil from both of the candidates right after this.
New technology, old theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The leader of a national faith-based organization said, "It's time we stop accommodating pro-abortion politicians, and it's time we start demanding they accommodate us." This is good advice we all need to follow. The political parties have very different views on abortion. So do the presidential candidates and most candidates for the Senate, House, and state and local races. Find out where they stand, and then stand up for America's unborn babies. I found a website favoring no political party. It just gives information on where political leaders stand on many issues important to Christian voters. Go to today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org, then encourage others to educate themselves on where candidates stand on critical issues. Most importantly, make sure you all vote.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday, August the 19th. We're getting your thoughts on the Saddleback Civil Forum. Try saying that five times fast. On the presidency. 1-877-623-MYIE is our phone number and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We talked about this a little bit before the break. It's usually called the problem of evil. Well, here's an interesting take. It's a question of evil. Does it exist, and what should we do about it? This is how Senator Obama and what he had to say on the subject of evil.
Does evil exist? And if it does, do we ignore it? Do we negotiate with it? Do we contain it? Do we defeat it?
Evil does exist. I think we see evil all the time. We see evil in Darfur. We see evil some sadly on the streets of our cities. We see evil in parents who viciously abuse their children. And I think it has to be confronted. It has to be confronted squarely. And one of the things that I strongly believe is that we are not going to, as individuals, be able to erase evil from the world. That is God's task. But we can be soldiers in that process, and we can confront it when we see it. Now, the one thing that I think is very important is for us to have some humility in how we approach the issue of confronting evil, because a lot of evil has been perpetrated based on the claim that we were trying to confront evil
in the name of good.
In the name of good.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think one thing that's very important is having some humility in recognizing that just because we think our intentions are good doesn't always mean that we're going to be doing good.
Now, he didn't say terrorism there, but it sounds like he was talking about the societal ills that we live with, whether they be on our own streets or on our borders or on the borders of foreign lands. He said, in answer to the question in particular, Senator Obama said, that evil needs to be confronted, humbly confronted. Now, it's a good question. Does it exist? Yes. What should we do about it? Ignore it, confront it, defeat it? He said, we need to confront it. What do you make of his response? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines, and we're listening to the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. Answers to selected questions. Here's a good follow-up that should have come, probably. Of course, Rick Warren didn't have time for follow-ups, but you said that you are not pro-abortion. He said, I'm pro-choice, but I'm not pro-abortion. That's what Senator Obama said in his answer to the question about abortion. Is abortion evil? Remember, he said it should be rare. He said, with regard to embryonic stem cell research, that if we could find ways of getting stem cells that didn't require the destruction of human embryos, we should take that route. Is the destruction of human embryos evil? That would have been a good follow-up. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Well, here's what Senator McCain had to say in answer to the same question.
All right. How about the issue of evil? I asked this of your rival in the previous thing. Does evil exist? And if so, should we ignore it, negotiate with it, contain it, or defeat it?
Defeat it. A couple of points. One, if I'm president of the United States, my friends, if I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. I will do that, and I know how to do it. I will get that done. No one should be allowed to take thousands of innocent American lives. Of course, evil must be defeated. My friends, we are facing the transcendent challenge of the 21st century. Radical Islamic extremism. And we're going to defeat this evil. And the central battleground, according to David Petraeus and Osama bin Laden, is the battles is Baghdad, Mosul, Basra, and Iraq. And we are winning and we are succeeding, and our troops will come home with honor and with victory and not in defeat. And that's what's happening.
Now, Senator McCain went straight to radical Islamic terrorism. To Osama bin Laden. He put a face on the evil that he was asking about, and he said it should be defeated. I didn't notice that before, but the four options that Rick Warren gave to each of the candidates: should evil be ignored, negotiated with, contained, or defeated? McCain said defeated, and Obama said confronted, which I think, being charitable here, I think he meant defeated, not contained. It needs to be confronted. I don't think you would confront someone with, especially if we're talking about evil, without the prospect of defeating evil. So they both gave the same answer to the question. Yes, evil exists. Both of them found evil, one without saying it in so many words, in the threat of worldwide terrorism, one of them almost exclusively, McCain, the other, as one evil among many that we need to confront and defeat. What do you make of their responses? Do you remember when, after 9/11, there was a debate in our country whether or not evil, as a philosophical concept, as a reality in human experience, even existed? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Remember all the flat President Bush got for using the term once Islamic fascism? I wonder if John McCain will ever have the chutzpah to resurrect that term.
To resurrect the term. It was a good term. I mean, it really was. It went very quickly from being Islamic fascism to being Islamicism. They started talking about the Islamists rather than Islam or Muslims. They wanted to make a distinction between Muslims and Islamists. And I guess now it's radical. What was the term he used? Radical Islamic
extremism.
Extremism. That's what it was. Radical Islamic extremism. They're extremely Islamic. They're radically and extremely Islamic. He didn't use the word terrorism. That's right. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Do you remember when President Bush used the term after 9/11, axis of evil? And he was talking about the forces of terrorism. And he's also talking about governments like North Korea and elsewhere, the axis of evil. And he was roundly criticized for calling these countries evil or for calling their alliances evil. And I remember Ronald Reagan with the evil empire. Once that was put up, it stuck. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Tom in San Angelo, Texas, emails us. He says, I feel like Agrippa. He was almost persuaded by St. Paul to become a Christian. John McCain's answers on the abortion and Supreme Court questions at the Saddleback Church almost persuade me to vote for him rather than just against his opponent. The choice for whom to vote is not difficult, writes Tom. The motivation to do so is the quandary. It would be good to be able to vote for an individual rather than simply against another. Perhaps the ensuing weeks will help me clarify my motivation. Tom, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? Did you hear things that you liked from either candidate? Did what either candidate had to say in this unprecedented forum for simple questions, simple answers, make any difference on how you're going to vote? 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us, as Tom did, talkback@issuesetc.org. By the way, Tom, I gave up on my motivation for voting a long time ago. Voting, I think, is a privilege, an obligation, and a duty for those who enjoy the freedoms we do. If you're looking for the perfect candidate, you'll never find one. But if you want to talk motivation for voting, remember this. Christians vote for an entirely different reason than anyone else. It's not to institute God's kingdom. It's not to bring about a utopia. It's not to put Christians into office. It's not even to vote for pro-life candidates, per se. Christians vote for a different reason than everyone else. Everyone else votes in their own self-interest. Everyone else, when push comes to shove, they go in there, they pull the lever because, not only because of what they can get out of it, but maybe makes them feel good to do this or feel good to vote for or against that. It's self-interest. Christians vote not in their own self-interest, but in their neighbor's self-interest, which means sometimes that Christians, if they stop and think about how they vote and who they vote for and what they're voting for or against, might even vote against their own self-interest, but in favor of their neighbor's. Think about that for a while. That's an interesting reason to walk in and pull the lever the way you do. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He's everywhere. The big question is, what's he doing there and who might he be? Dr. Peter Kurowski will be our guest for that conversation. We'll also have a pastor's roundtable on divorce, Pastor Randy Asbury of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Pastor Heath Curtis of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. Jonathan will be on the phone with us because it's just, I think he's out on the East Coast, too far to drive in to our studio. Pastor's Roundtable on Divorce tomorrow on the program. When we come back, 10 more minutes in Audio Open Lines, listening to the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. What else do we have, Jeff? What's left there? Oh, McCain on his faith, and if we have time, Barack Obama on faith-based organizations. Oh, religious persecution, too. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Eric Kaleburer, Pastor David Fleming, Shauna Stewart, Pastor Brian Rohde, Pastor Brian Stark, Carrie Wolfmuller, Shara Piggers, Pastor Sean Nettleton, Betsy Schroeder, and Pastor John Furman. Thanks for your support.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. It's Tuesday, August the 19th. Audio open lines for another 10 minutes. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Martin Noland will join us. We'll remember, along with much of the church, 12th century hymn writer and theologian Bernard of Clairvaux. And then Jay Bujaszewski will be our guest. We're going to be talking with him about Christianity and college, a pair of terms that some people consider to be mutually exclusive. It's Audio Open Lines, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. We're listening to some audio from the Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency. Well, the question had to be asked about the religious views of these two men running for president. Both of them are Christians. Rick Warren, a Christian pastor, seems a natural question. Here's Senator McCain on his faith.
First, you made no doubt about the fact that you are a Christian. You say you're a follower of Christ. What does that mean to you? And how does faith work out in your life on a daily basis? What does it mean to you?
It means I'm saved and forgiven. And we're talking about the world. Our faith encompasses not just the United States of America, but the world. Can I tell you another story real quick?
Sure.
The Vietnamese kept us in prison in conditions of solitary confinement or two or three to a cell. They did that because they knew they could break down our resistance. One of the techniques that they used to get information was to take ropes and tie them around your biceps, pull your biceps behind you, loop the rope around your head, pull your head down between your knees, and leave you in that position. You can imagine it's very uncomfortable. One night I was being punished in that fashion. all of a sudden the door of the cell opened and a guard came in, a guy who was just what we called a gun guard. He just walked around the camp with a gun on his shoulder. He went like this, and then he loosened the ropes. He came back about 4 hours later, he tightened them up again and left. Following Christmas, because it was Christmas Day, we were allowed to stand outside of our cell for a few minutes. In those days, we were not allowed to see or communicate with each other, although we certainly did. And I was standing outside for my few minutes outside of my cell. He came walking up, stood there for a minute, and with his sandal on the dirt in the courtyard, he drew a cross. And he stood there, and a minute later, he rubbed it out and walked away. For a minute there, there was just two Christians worshiping together. I'll never forget that moment.
Pretty amazing story, in fact. And that's his answer to where what role his faith plays for him. Rather than talk about it in the philosophical terms, he tells us this story from his time in captivity in Vietnam. We'll hear from Barack Obama in a moment on faith-based organizations and, as time permits, maybe religious persecution from Senator McCain. Carrie writes this from Minnesota. She says, "The problem, as I see it, is that we can't defeat evil in this present world. We can only try to contain it." Right? That's a good comment. Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by evil. Both the senators, in response to Warren's question on evil, seem to want to put kind of a concrete face on evil. It's poverty. It is child abuse. It is worldwide terrorism. And in that case, I guess you can say there's a measure of you can defeat it to a certain degree. You can eliminate it here and there and kind of root out the pockets of it if that's what evil is. But if we understand evil to be more pervasive as Christians, it's not just what we do. It is, in fact, in the fiber of our being, fallen children of Adam that we are. Then go ahead, catch Osama bin Laden. I think we should. But there's going to be another one to replace him. And even if we're able to feed every starving child and end every incident of child abuse, and we should try to do that, we should. But even if we are able to do that, we've still got all sorts of other evils to deal with. And I'm not talking about societal evils. I'm talking about the evil in our own hearts. There's one defeat for that, and that is the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. We, on this side of the resurrection, still standing on the battlefield with the victory secured, we still encounter evil from within and without all day long. And I guess in a practical sense, Carrie, you're right. I mean, all we can hope to do on this side of the resurrection is to contain it. You want to know where you can see the defeat of evil in your own life, your own evil that you had inherited from Adam on a regular basis? Go confess your sins and hear the words of Christ spoken by your pastor. "I forgive you all your sins." That is sin, death, and the devil defeated once and for all. Okay, let's listen to what Senator Barack Obama had to say on the issue of faith-based initiatives.
"The role of faith-based organizations. Recent polls says 80% of Americans think faith-based organizations do a better job at community services than the government. Helping addictions, all the different homelessness, poverty, things like that. Now, the Civil Rights Act of 64 says that faith-based organizations have a right to hire people who believe like they do. Would you insist that faith-based organizations forfeit that right to access federal funds?"
Well, first of all, I think you're aware, Pastor Rick, that I gave a speech earlier this summer promoting faith-based initiatives. I think that we should have an all-hands-on-deck approach when it comes to issues like poverty and substance abuse. And as somebody who got my start out of college working with churches who were trying to deal with the devastation of steel plants closing in the south side of Chicago, I know the power of faith-based institutions to get stuff done. What I have said is that when it comes, first of all, to funding faith-based organizations, they are always free to hire whoever they want when it comes to their own mission, who their pastor is, the various ministries that they want to set up. But, and this has been a long-standing rule.
Like when it, Christian's college, Christian
yeah,
University.
Absolutely. When it comes to the programs that are federally funded, then we do have to be careful to make sure that we are not creating a situation where people are being discriminated against using federal money. That's not new. That's a concept that was true under the Clinton administration, that was true under the Bush administration. There are, in 95% of the circumstances, it's not an issue because people are careful about how they use the funds. There are some tough issues, 5% of the situations, where people might say, you know, I want to hire somebody of my faith for a program that is fully funded by the federal government and we're offering services to the public. And
in relief, like in Katrina,
right.
Would if I took people to Katrina and I wanted to hire some people to do relief, I would still, if I took federal money to help in that relief, I wouldn't be able to say, oh, I only want people who believe like we do.
Well, you know, it's one of those situations where the devil's in the details. I think, generally speaking, faith-based organizations should not be advantaged or disadvantaged when it comes to getting federal funds by virtue of the fact that they're faith-based organizations. They just want a level playing field. But what we do want to make sure of is that, as a general principle, we're not using federal funding to discriminate. But that is only when it comes to the narrow program that is being funded by the federal government. That does not affect any of the other ministries that are being taken that are taking place.
Yeah, the one of the major thrusts of his predecessor, if he makes it into the White House, of course, has been the faith-based initiatives, and it was something that was started by his predecessor and actually started even before that. And all these questions continue to swirl around faith-based organizations, let's just say churches, okay, or parachurch organizations that take federal money. Sounds like he's just going to continue to play by the rules that have already been established with regard to the strings attached that may dangle off some of that money. Douglas in Vero Beach, Florida, listens, and he writes this: I thank God that his mercy has brought you back to the airwaves. Thank you very much, Douglas. So do we. Doesn't featuring the presidential candidates in this mainline church, Saddleback, with its emergent postmodern humanistic pseudo-gospel, legitimize it in the minds of the lost? Forgive me if I cover something in the podcast. Haven't listened yet today. Hey, never apologize for not having listened yet. We like our on-demand listeners, our podcast listeners. Douglas, I it's a question in my mind, too. I said at the beginning of our conversation that this was a PR coup for Saddleback and for Rick Warren. It has, in the minds of many, and I agree here, passed the torch from others like Dr. James Dobson to Rick Warren as the go-to guy when they want to know what Christians are thinking or doing or where they're headed. They're going to go ask Rick Warren now because this has launched him higher than he even was before. And Saddleback does gain a lot of credibility from something like this, at least in the mind of people who are looking and saying, well, okay, there's some reasonable people having a reasonable conversation. Does it legitimize the quote-unquote gospel that's being preached in these churches in the minds of the lost? I don't have an answer to that question yet. I have to wait and see. I hope it doesn't. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.